Let's pray. I think I'm really loud. Emma? Emma, is this really loud? I feel like I'm trying to speak so quietly. So it won't be loud. I carry a big voice. Lord, I just thank you for tonight. Lord, the few that have gathered. Lord, we're just going to have fun tonight. And just pray, Lord, you're here. Lord, anytime we come to your presence, partake of you in the Eucharist, Lord, we're transformed from glory to glory to be more like you. So I pray, Holy Spirit, come and make yourself real. Fill me. Anoint these words, Lord. Work through all of our tiredness of the day and just the busyness of life. All of our minds are just full. And we just yield that to you, Lord. In our weakness, your strength is made perfect. Just pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, amen. It's good to see everybody. Pens are just falling everywhere. Praying today, I really, it's one of those times where the Lord just kind of, usually I'll know a day or two ahead what I'm going to talk about. And man, he just kind of let it go up to the last minute, you know, to see if I would panic or not. And of course I panicked. No. But I just kept seeing this green journal I had. And I just saw, like, on one page it was written this, and the next page it was, you'd flip it, and I wrote somehow, I don't know how I got it flipped, but wrote in there, and that's what I saw. And I went there, and I guess a couple of years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I'd written down some stuff about just the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and that's what we want to talk about. So maybe just kind of refreshing things, stuff we all know, you know, because we see a lot of it now manifested in daily communion. If you come, there's just a lot of prophetic stuff going out. We just cover that in prophetic words, but there's healings, there's just all kind of things taking place there. And I know we all believe it, but for some people it's probably really new. And I grew up in an environment where you didn't hear a lot about the Holy Spirit. You know, you may see it in a song or sing it, you know, but you didn't talk about it, you know. Holy Spirit is third person of the Trinity, and let's just leave him alone. You know, he doesn't want to be bothered. So it was kind of like that. And, you know, when you're afraid of something and you don't know, you just the best to leave it alone. Right. Until in 1991, when I had a real encounter with the Holy Spirit, and it really radically changed my life. So from then on, I thought, well, why do I believe what I've been taught? And then as I just begin to look at Scripture, it's just very plain. And anytime you read Scripture, then you have to set up a university to unexplain what Scripture plainly says, you know. And I like what one guy says, it's amazing how much light Scripture sheds on a commentary, you know. Just believe what Scripture says. And Scripture says that these things are real. And everything else is just trying to unexplain that, you know, the Holy Spirit left at the end of the apostolic age. But then, one, there's no scripture reference for that at all. And there's no historical reference to that. If you go back and look at the history of the church, you see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and healings and miracles and all those things that took place all through the early church. You know, and so there's just several different theories. But we're going to go on the basis of we all believe it, okay? So I won't have to convince anyone. Because, and turn, if you want to, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're just going to just have fun, like I say, have fun with this, talk about it. I think the whole purpose in this thing is to maybe stir up in you, because I believe that we all have different gifts. We can manifest a different gift at any time. You know, Scripture is plain about that. However the Holy Spirit desires. But I also think that there's these gifts that you've been given. And maybe you don't know what it is, or maybe you do, maybe you don't. But no matter what it is, it takes a measure of faith to begin to walk in it and operate in it, okay? 1 Corinthians 12. And the word charismatic, too, just by the way, if you hear the word charismatic, that word just means gifts. I know it can be a real scary word, like they're charismatics. That just means they believe in the gifts, okay? No big scary word. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware, okay? So we're not going to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says that Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So, first purpose is for the common good of the body, right? The word the manifestation really means like to announce or make the presence of something known. Okay? So the manifestation of the gifts are for the common good of the body, to edify, to build up. Again, this is just, 101 stuff. But is to manifest His presence, to make His presence real to us, okay? I'm glad that we just don't have just a book, you know? Like, we don't need all that stuff. We got a book, you know? I'm glad that the Lord does that because there's one guy that came in recently to one of our noonday Eucharists, and the exact thing he was asking the Lord for, there was a prophetic word given. I mean, it just, pow. I mean, how can you not say that God is real? I mean, we had no idea what this guy was thinking, you know? Walks in, and it was all about him and the Lord. The Lord wanted him to know, hey, I heard your prayer, I love you, and I'm going to tell this crazy guy up here, and he's going to tell you something. So it was for his good. It edified him. It built him up. He was blown away by what he heard, okay? Now, again, it's the Spirit. It's not the person whatsoever. Walking in the gifts of the Spirit doesn't mean make you more holy or mean that you're more holy than anybody else, right? It's a manifestation of the Spirit through a person for a purpose, okay? And we get that confused a lot of times, like only the mature can walk in the gifts and operate in the gifts. That is not true. Any believer can walk in the gifts, okay? It's plain about that. But as you mature, the gift you have will mature also. There'll be a maturity level of that gift, but maturity is not the hallmark of whether you can walk in the gift or not. See, that'll scare a lot of people. I'm not mature enough yet. You know, John Wimber, the father of the modern charismatic movement in the United States, had a church of about 5,000. The average age was 19. And they just saw all kind of miracles and stuff all the time, these guys. But he knew, hey guys, you know, he knew they weren't all mature. He had his hands full, but that's one of the things he always taught. Don't be confused thinking that the gifts are only for the mature. They're for the hungry heart, right? And it actually tells us to pursue them. And 1 Corinthians 14, so actually earnestly desire them. Pursue love, but earnestly desire the gifts. So if you really want to do that, earnestly desire. It's okay to pray. It's okay to pray to whatever. Right? And it says especially that you may prophesy. Okay? All right. Purpose, edify, the manifestation, God making Himself known. And also, I would say, it's just a work of grace or God's gracelets. That's one thing that John Wimber said a lot. It's just God's drops of gracelets, you know, letting you know how much that He loves you, that you're thought of, or whatever. It's just a manifestation of the grace of God working in us. Now, I had this written down too. I'll say this. Now, again, a lot of our, I would say, tragic experience is a lot of us don't walk in it, you know, because of, let's see, do we want to call it maybe experiential pride, you know? We won't step up and do it out of fear of what? Failure. Okay, thank you, Michael. He's helping me here. I don't want to say that. But we won't step up out of fear of failure, that we might blow or look silly or look goofy. You know, fruit always grows out on a limb. And if you want to bear fruit, you got to go out there. You know, I can't tell you the number of times when we've been at communion and stuff, and it's time to, you know, get moved in the Spirit, and I don't have a nothing. I mean, you know, I mean blank as blank can be until I walk down here, and then God will give me something, you know. And I may look calm on the outside, but inwardly I am running around in circles thinking, all right, God. But, you know, that's where faith kicks in. You're going to be faithful, God. And I start now, I thank Him before I do it. All right, thank You, Lord, that You're going to be faithful. And thank You that when I step down here, You're going to give me something. You know, I thank You for that. Even if You want to make me look foolish, Lord, that's okay. I'm going to do that too. So, if you want to walk in the gifts and activate them in your life, then you may have to deal with that. You know, that thing of not wanting to look foolish, you know, stepping up, stepping out. You know, we all want it to happen before we step out. You know, get the whole picture before we do that. And it just doesn't happen that way. We, by faith, got to go for it, right? And another side of that coin of the prideful thing is when we think we're more gifted than we really are. You know, that's a danger too. You know, because that's the other side of pride. You know, just thinking you're too gifted. 1 Peter 4:10 says to that each one's been given a special gift, employed in serving one another, right? So, just scriptural confirmation of that you have a gift. Stir it up and use it for the good of the body. Okay? So some of these things just kind of lay dormant in our lives. Okay. All right, let's look at some of these gifts here that it talks about. Picking up in verse 8. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. And to another, the effecting of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each individually as He wills. For even as the body is one, yet many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized in one body. Okay. And He repeats that over and over again. I believe the Holy Spirit does that, by one Spirit, by one Spirit. So we would kind of get it. It's not us. It's the Holy Spirit. Okay. If you were here the other day when I was the word out of 2 Kings chapter 6, I believe it's 2 Kings or 1 Kings, about the axe head that came off the axe and Elisha, so 2 Kings, threw in the stick and the axe head floated, you know, always reminding us of borrowed power. It's always borrowed power. It's not our power. It's His. Okay? So let's divide these up into little categories here. These gifts that we just talked about. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and discernment of spirit. Put in the category of gifts of seeing, or seeing gifts. Okay? With the eyes of God seeing. And the word of wisdom is something given by the Spirit that gives us maybe a solution to a problem that you're having or something you're going through, and that you really need a word from the Lord of wisdom of how to handle a situation or what to do in a situation or whatever. That's what the word of wisdom is. And the Holy Spirit can give a person a word of wisdom. Okay. Sometimes even when we're up here during communion and we're given stuff, sometimes there's words of wisdom given, you know. I don't know what you're going through, but I think the Lord says this. Or I had wasn't a dream this morning, but it was a word from the Lord for someone that I really don't know. I know of, and I knew their friend would be here at communion today. I saw that, and they were, and I gave them the word to tell this person this word. Okay, and So, words of knowledge. Words of knowledge is kind of, you see what's happening in a person's life. Or you see a situation that's going on in your life. I see in your life, certain such is going on in Lois. You know, you can't find your car keys every morning. And the Lord is saying, see, I'm just, the Spirit's manifestation is something that's actually going on in their life. It's a word of knowledge about them, about something that's going on in your life. Like if Michael was going through a divorce, you know, I would have a word. I see you going through a divorce, and the Lord says, blah, 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 blah. I've just given him a word of knowledge by the same Spirit. They're seeing gifts, okay? The third one, discernment of spirits. You know, Scripture never really says, you hear people say, I have a gift of discernment, you know? That's really nowhere in here. It's actually discernment of spirits in the King James, or distinguishing of spirits in the New American Standard. But I do believe that what we call discernment is actually a person operating in words of knowledge, you know, or even words of wisdom. Or maybe there's a gift. Not every gift I don't think is listed in Scripture. I think there are gifts that aren't listed. That's just my own personal opinion. But distinguishing of spirits is in this particular situation to know whether something is God working, or it's the enemy working, or if it's the flesh working. And that's really important when you do ministry. If you have a ministry like I do, a thing like Rich does, where you're confronting people, their stuff they're going through, their brokenness, gut-wrenching things that may have happened to them in the past or what they're going through, you really need that gift to know what you're dealing with. You know, whether you're just dealing with this broken soul, whether you're dealing with a demonic spirit, or whether this is just God working. I remember one particular situation. There was a lady and a man that spent the night over here in the hotel, and they came to our church. And the man actually had a dream about our church, and he came and was going to be a part of the CEC. And during the communion prayer time, this was years ago, they were up here, and this woman started shaking, you know. And then she fell out on the floor and started shaking like a fish out of water, you know, just flopping around. And I was watching the people around her, that people's eyes were getting big, like, oh, my God, what's going on? And so the Lord just spoke a word to me and said, go up there, lay hands on this lady, and call forth the new creation that she is in Christ. This is not demonic. It was just her new creation coming through her soul, if that makes sense. You know, and sometimes that'll happen. This new creation that we are in Christ is coming through this broken soul, and it was just like shaking, like the power of God's on her. Okay? That was a discernment of spirits. I could say, okay, and I knew exactly what to do, and she calmed down. I mean, just like, pow, just like that. So I knew that was the Lord. Another time we had a guest speaker years ago, and they're having a morning service, and this one, our offices were over here, and the Lord told me to get up and come over here, and I did. And when I walked in the back door back there, there was wailing going on in here, you know, weeping and gnashing of teeth. And there was this guy rolling around on the floor, and these women were over him rebuking a spirit of witchcraft, okay? And I mean, he was just hollering and carrying on. So I wanted to go back to my office, but the Lord said, no, go in there, you know. And I went up there, and again, he said, this is not demonic, you know. He's hearing them say this thing, and it's coming. This is coming out of his soul, okay. So he's, when they, every time they'd say witchcraft, he'd just, you know, do all these contortings and all these screamings and stuff like that, and it made them just go after it even more. And they were getting louder and louder, and he said, it's not demonic. So I got down on my hands and knees, got down there by his ear, and I said, it's okay, it's over. So, you're all right, it's okay. And he just immediately calmed down just like that. Okay? Operation of discernment of spirits. That was a soul. Then there are times when the Lord says, it's demonic. You know, I've had so many people in my office talking to them, and they'll say something to me, you know, just kind of, I don't know, wow. And the Lord will say, and I'll see it, it's demonic. And in order to deal with this thing, you got to bind up this demonic or deal with the demonic, okay? Discern the spirits, let me know that, hey, this is demonic. So it's a supernatural thing given by the Holy Spirit, It doesn't, has nothing to do with me. For that given situation, he's manifested that so that person can get healed for the common good. Okay? Not to build me up or people think, oh, man, that guy can really discern. No, man, it's the Holy Spirit. And I really know that, and I really believe that. Okay? And I remember one time, Betty Brennan, the lady, and you'll get to meet her. I think she's coming next month or sometime. We're trying to get her to come. Ash Wednesday. She will be our speaker for Ash Wednesday. She probably operates at the highest level of discernment of spirits that I've ever seen or ever known. You know, I stood beside her and ministered to, and, you know, things she didn't know, talking to her. She's just really incredible. So it'd be a real blessing to come to hear that night. But she prayed for a bunch of people. She prayed for me years ago for that gift. And I remember the Lord telling me, are you sure you want this? Do you really want this gift? And I was like, yeah. And I knew what he's saying now. I should have taken the out. But it helps. I mean, it helps in dealing with stuff like that. All right, gifts of power. Those are the seeing gifts, words of wisdom, knowledge, and discernment spirits. And then these power gifts. Talks about there's the gift of faith. You know, we're all called to live by faith, right? The just live by faith. But there's this gift of faith that God gives. And the gift of faith kind of comes to you like a surge welling up in you. In a given situation, this thing rises up in you to believe or to call forth. Like Matthew 21:21, where it says, if you have faith, you can say to this mountain, be picked up and cast into the sea. I think that's a moment when this faith just rises up. Like Elijah, when he prayed that it wouldn't rain on the earth for 3 years. You know, that was something that just rose up in him to speak that. You know, Bishop Adler tells a story of, I don't know if y'all have heard it or not. He was an assistant pastor in the Church of God. And there was a lady in the wheelchair there one night. And he said, man, you know, it was his turn to preach on a Sunday night. This thing just rose up in him. And he just went over that lady and said, get up and walk. And then the Lord said, say it louder. And he's like, get up and walk. And he said, say it louder. And he's like, get up and walk. You know, and just kept saying this to this lady. Well, in his mind, he thought everybody, the pastor and everybody around him, was like in one accord with him, you know, praying, but they all thought, oh my God, he's fixing a bomb really bad, you know. But that gift of faith hit him like that. It just, this welling and this surge that came up in him, and he just spoke it out, you know. And the lady did. She had a severed spine, and she got up and walked, and God just totally healed her. So that's one example of faith just rising up in you. 1 Corinthians 13:2 talks about that. If you have faith to remove mountains and don't have love, you become just a noisy gong. So, several other scripture references for that. Where's that page? The working of miracles. The effects of miracles. Okay? Effects of miracles, events which people or things are visibly or beneficially affected by the power of God working through an individual. When you have one of the stories of the effecting of miracles, do you remember when, in the Old Testament, when Hezekiah asked the Lord for an extension of days, he was dying. And Isaiah prayed for him, and God gave him 15 years. And there was a sign for that. And he said, you know, let's do a sign that this is going to happen. So the Lord gave Isaiah this word and said, okay, when the sun was going down, do you want the shadow to go up 15 steps or down 15 steps? And he said, well, it's easy to go up, make it go down. So it's like things went backwards as a sign to Hezekiah that he would get healed. Okay, that's like the effecting of miracles right there. When a word's spoken and things change, even the environment, the atmosphere. When Jesus was in the boat And he spoke to the storms, and he spoke to the seas, peace, be still. And the seas calmed. That's the effecting of miracles. You know, when we pray and God changes the weather, effecting of miracles. And that happened to me just one time, I remember. And I'm sure there were a ton of other people praying, but God really used it in my life. But I remember riding back from somewhere, and there was a storm going to hit. And I just asked the Lord, I could see Selma on the, I could see it in the spirit, like Selma on the dot of the mat, and I could see the storm coming, and then it split like this and just missed us. You know, that's what I could see. And I was praying, Lord, let it. So when I got home, I looked at the radar thing, and it happened just like I saw it. Okay? Why not? I mean, why wouldn't God do that for anybody? I mean, Elijah prayed, and it didn't rain for 3 years. So, see, effecting of miracles. Now, I'm sure a bunch of other people prayed that thing, but you couldn't have convinced me right then that it wasn't my prayers that were. You know what I mean? That's the effecting of miracles, you know. And like this is not, you know, a teaching where it has to look or be just like this, because when faith comes forth and a person gets healed, there's also a manifestation of the gifts of healings too, right? And that's the next one. Gifts of healings. And usually that really is physical and also emotional healing. You know, we don't need to say if a person has a gift of healings and they can lay hands on people and people can walk or they get healed. But also that has to do with emotional healings, inner healing, stuff like that. This church has a real anointing on it for inner healing. That's gifts of healings. But also there's people who are really gifted to pray for people for physical healing. Dolores Winder's one of them. She prayed for me and God healed my back after two surgeries and I couldn't get out of bed. I went over to Robert and Lois's. Y'all remember that when she was over there? And went over there and she prayed for me. And it was like this intense heat went in my back. And God, I woke up the next morning, have not had a day's problem with it in 11 years. So there's gifts of healings there. So, you know, some people are, God can manifest them at any time through anybody, but there's some people who they have the gift. And it manifests itself in a real incredible way through Dolores Winder. Brent, now Father Brent has a real gift of healings, you know. He prays for a lot of people. A lot of people are healed through his touch, you know. Can I tell Michael, when I was talking about that today, about someone had given him a prophetic word one time that he has a gift of healings. He said, what do I do? And I said, start praying for people, you know. That's how you do it. Step out in faith, pray for people, and then that gift will begin to increase in your life, okay. So those are just power gifts. And I think with each gift of this, in Romans 12:3 says each one of us has been given a measure of faith. Okay, and I think in each of these gifts that we're talking about, there's a measure of faith. That kind of ties into what we've been, the theme of Christ the King lately about faith. You have to walk in a certain amount of faith, you know, to go for it, right? And it's fun when that surge of faith comes and you can see the Lord do it. But faith is not a feeling, remember. You know, it's not an emotion. Okay, we're doing good on time. Speaking or inspirational gifts. It's tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. It's amazing how this tongues have been such a controversial issue, right? And people would just throw the baby out with the bathwater and chunk everything because of tongues, right? That's the one you hear about, right? All us people growing up that grew up or still in the Baptist church I was, that's the deal breaker right there. You know, they speak in tongues. And you know, when it talks about in 1 Corinthians 12 on that God gives, there's various types of tongues, you know, interpretation of tongues. So even in 1 Corinthians 14, if you read about it, it talks that. Don't forbid the speaking of tongues, but it just gives a way to do it, you know. Ungifted people hear you, they think you're crazy. Well, so give them something that's from the Lord that they can understand and they get it. But at the same time, it's a real gift, okay? We've heard it at Christ the King. Person get up, you know, sound like somebody cranking a chainsaw, and then someone gives an interpretation of that. It's really cool, too. And then there's also a praying in the Spirit, you know, a prayer language that's different than the gift of actual tongues, you know. I've never functioned in the gift of tongues before. I mean, I've never stood up and given a word in tongues and then an interpretation. I have had the interpretation before and not given it. Have y'all ever done that? Who ever has had an interpretation of tongues and not given it? Or felt like you had and not given it? Okay, good. Y'all are raising your hands like this. I'm like, me? Y'all are like, me. I think so. One time. A bunch of us have. You know, I have. Think, well, gosh. And then we just leave that person out there, you know, to on the stage by themselves. Letting them sink. Such love. Throw them under the bus. It's me or you. You're sinking, buddy. But that's really cool. You know, at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell, all these people heard speaking in different languages. That's just one manifestation of it. You know, other times in 1 Corinthians 14 is really clear that nobody understands what you're saying. And there has to be an interpretation. Okay? Then there's the praying, which I believe, okay, I believe that gift is for everyone. Why do I believe that? In the book of Jude, which is one chapter, around verse 24-ish, it says, "But you, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit." Okay? Here's how I'll explain it. I believe praying in the Spirit is a love language just between you and God. Nobody knows it. The enemy doesn't know it. See, I really believe it's a big deal. Because the enemy does not know what you're saying. And it's just language just between you and the Lord. You know? And it's a love language. Because it says, after that, "But you, building yourselves up on your most holy, you know, holy faith, praying in the Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God." So, that's why I believe that. That it's a love language. And it makes the love of God more real to me, you know. And that was a real hard one for me when I first got filled with the Holy Spirit in 91. But I was at a place that I was so desperate for the Lord, I didn't care. You know, I didn't care if I had to learn, you know, Chinese pig Latin. I didn't care. I was just ready and desperate for God. And if that's something He wanted to give me that just seems so foolish, then that's okay, you know. Because God does choose the weak and foolish things of the world to shame the wise, right? So He gives us this goofy sounding language that the enemy can't understand. That's just between you and God. And it builds up your faith and it keeps you in the love of God. Isn't that incredible? But if you've ever sat down and tried to pray, and I don't know if you've ever done this, like pray in tongues over about 5 minutes or so, it is really hard. I remember when I first heard Bishop Adler's story. He came in from a trip one time when he was the archbishop, and he was sitting. He always took like from 12 to 3 to study every day. And he said he got in there about 12, and the thought just hit him. What would happen if I prayed in tongues for an hour? So he did. And he said after that first hour, he thought, wonder what would happen if I prayed in tongues for 2 hours? And he said he prayed for 2 hours in tongues. And he said the more he prayed, he just felt refreshed, and he said, then he went on the third hour. So for a period of about 4 years, he prayed every day for 3 hours in tongues. And he said it's like his life changed. He said things that used to be real foggy begin to clear up for him, you know. God just began to speak more clearly than he'd ever heard him before. And so the challenge went out, you know, to everybody in the CEC to pray in tongues, you know. And I thought, man, I can do this. So I get in there and I'm just praying in tongues. And I thought, man, 5 minutes fast. You know, and I thought, I'm not going to make it 3 hours. So I was praying more. And after about 30 minutes, man, I was just ready to, I was pulling at my hair. But I thought, and the Lord just showed me this thing. It's like doing, when I went into basic training and I, you know, had to do all these push-ups and sit-ups and run. I was so out of shape. And the Lord just showed me this vision of I was spiritually out of shape. And so I could see myself doing these calisthenics in the Spirit. And so I didn't do the 3 hours. I did the 30 minutes and then kicked it up to an hour a day. And it was cool. I mean, I heard the Lord so much better on things. Like a lot of fog in my mind began to clear up. And it was just this love language, you know. So I've been doing that again lately, you know, just sitting down, just trying to pray. You know, make it 15 or 20, 30 minutes just praying in the Spirit. And it's good for me. That's for me, okay? whatever you and the Lord decide y'all want to do. But you can't go wrong doing that. And I actually put it to practice. Saturday we were hunting, and Mike Irwin shot a deer, and we trailed it like from here to Orville, it seemed like, and couldn't find it, looked everywhere, just walking around. And the thought occurred to me, pray in tongues. So I sit there and I thought, okay. So I just prayed in tongues, and I saw an arrow go that way, you know, in my spirit. And sure enough, we walked that way, and Andy Tipton went ahead, and he said, we ought to look this way, and that's where the deer was. So if I'd have done that 2 hours earlier, you know, we'd have got out of there. But it took us 4 hours to find the deer and to get him out of the woods. So just a little story of that. Just to encourage you about praying. And I do that daily, you know, before we minister. I can start praying in tongues and I see more clearly, you know, or I hear more clearly of a word I may have for someone when you're kind of seeing through a glass darkly. You know, it just comes into focus just a little better. So I'd encourage you, you know, if you don't do that as a practice in your quiet time, just take 5 minutes and do that. Just pray in tongues, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, and you may want to go more, or whatever. So not trying to put anybody under any kind of guilt or condemnation about that. And then of the speaking gifts, there's, of course, prophecy. You know, and the purpose of prophecy, of course, is to edify, to encourage, and to comfort. To edify, everybody knows what edify means, right? To build up, to encourage, or comfort. That's how you can know. People always come to me and say, I think I've got a word of the Lord. How do I know it's the word of the Lord? And I'll say, well, does it fall into that category? Does it edify? Does it encourage, or does it comfort? If it didn't do any of those three, let's shelve it, you know. Because a lot of times people will get these Old Testament prophets, you know, kind of in their mind, they want to give up and give this scathing and railing word to someone, you know. But as New Testament Christians, that's what prophecy does, you know. It's to build us up, it's to encourage us, it's to edify us, all right. And Scripture does say that anyone can prophesy. Right? There are prophets. There are New Testament prophets. And you, prophets are usually, that gift just goes all the time. No matter where they are or what they're doing, they can do that. But when we're gathered together and when we come together, there's a manifestation of the gifts and all can do that. There's not a person in here, if you're a believer, that cannot do that. And if you really would like to do that, then the Lord says to earnestly desire it. Right? You can earnestly desire it and then go for it at some level. At some level, you got to go for it, okay? Maybe me or like Bob Armstrong used to say all the time, or the pickles I ate last night, you know. But this is what I'm saying. And then he kind of goes for it. Another thing I had down, it restores people's dignity and self-respect. And you see that a lot, right? Provide direction. Hence vision, and there are times now. Now I'm going to backpedal just a tad, and then we'll be through, and we'll go ahead and do communion. And there are times when a prophetic word can bring correction in your life, you know. But usually, when that's done, it's done. You know, we always tell people if we're We used to have Sunday night services where we would kind of move in a gift. And if you have a correcting or directing word, come to one of the people in charge and tell it to them. You know, let's kind of filter this thing, you know. And I remember one day this lady got up and gave a directing word. Do y'all remember that? And gathered all these people around the church holding hands. Do y'all remember when that lady did that? We were like, you know, doing the monkey chase the weasel. What is that? All around the merry-go-round. I thought, what are we doing? And I think someone came with you, Craig, Friday, didn't they? A guest or something? We never saw them again. So anyway, that was a directional word that this person didn't say, hey, let me run this by you. Got us all doing this. And anyway, God covered it. Not a big deal. But there are times when the Lord does that. And if he ever does that, it's always out of his love. that he's doing that. And he's trying to rescue someone or trying to keep them from doing something that's going to bring harm in the, you know, to them in their lives. I remember having a word for this lady one time, and she was engaged to this guy going to marry him. And I said, man, I see a house burning and a ladder, and you need to get out of there. You know? And they were like, whoa. The people that were ministering with me like looked at me like, have you lost your mind? Man, but it just rose up out of me. And sure enough, that person didn't listen to me and went into this relationship, and it was disastrous. Absolutely disastrous. Ended up, you know, getting a divorce and all this kind of stuff. It was just bad. But God gave a prophetic warning to them, please don't do this because, you know, there's going to be harm. So usually when that's done, what I've seen personally is you give it to them privately. You know, so let me give you this. It's rarely ever done in a public setting or form, you know, because that can get bad. I remember one, we sit around and hear these guys who've been in prophetic ministries for years just tell these funny stories. And they were at some service, and this guy was going to stand up and give this word. You know, God has written Ichabod over the church. Well, Ichabod means the glory is departed. When saying Ichabod, he said Michelob. God has written Michelob over this church. So that's what happens to us when we stand up and try to give a prophetic word like that that's bringing judgment on people, you know. So anyway. All right, we're going to do communion now. I don't know why the Lord wanted to do that, just to encourage us again and refresh us. Maybe spark something in you about walking in your particular gift, or maybe even start praying and seeking the Lord. Lord, what is my gift? What do I have? And you have something, I guarantee you. We didn't get to finish because there's gifts of teachings, administrations, helps, all those different kind of things that are also gifts. Romans chapter 12 talks about a lot of different gifts like that too. So lack of time tonight. Roxanne begged me to get through at 7:30 because she wouldn't be over there so long with these children. And I promised her that we would do that. So. Right. They run out of stuff to do. An hour and a half is a long time to come up with stuff to do. I wouldn't last very long. Well, amen. Well, Lord, I just thank you. And thank you for the people that are here. They're just so precious and dear to you, Lord. Just bless them for coming out tonight, Lord. Just in the rain. And again, Lord, I just get this overwhelming sense that you're just here to bless them. And as we partake of your body and your blood, Lord, I'm just praying that we'd all encounter you. And I think you're just going to refresh these people. Lord, I just see them just sleeping peacefully tonight. Fill them, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.